I think some of the favorite shows that I host every month are the shows I do when I have a chance to talk with Wisconsin authors. And one of my favorites is with us today, Kathleen Ernst. Hi, I'm Larry Mueller, and I'm happy to have you along on the Ideas Network and happy to have Kathleen Ernst with us. She's writer, educator, historian, social historian. Her latest book is Death on the Prairie. And it's the sixth novel in Kathleen's award-winning Chloe Ellefson Historic Sites Mystery Series, which is quite a mouthful, Kathleen, but it's a wonderful series.
Well, thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here again.
You may have read some of her earlier books and may have comments on them, or maybe you have questions about this particular book. Or maybe you'll have some comments about Laura Ingalls Wilder, because Laura Ingalls Wilder kind of plays a role in this very fast-paced mystery book. And so I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. I know a lot of people are familiar with your books, but just maybe set the general storyline for the Chloe Ellefson series.
Well, I moved to Wisconsin 30-some years ago to take a job at Old World Wisconsin, which is quite the crown jewel, or one of the crown jewels, I should say, in Wisconsin's historic sites system. And it's a very special place. And after I moved on, I missed the place, and I missed working in the living history world. So I created a mystery series around Chloe Ellefson, who is a fictional character who is a curator at Old World Wisconsin. And as I develop each mystery, events from the past help inform solving a crime that takes place in the contemporary timeline.
And this time, it's Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Yes, I'd been waiting for quite some time. I knew I wanted to get Chloe on the road with visiting the Laura Ingalls Wilder site, both Pepin in Wisconsin as well as others in the Midwest. And I just needed to wait until the time was right when thematically I could talk about the Laura Ingalls Wilder Little House series and have that reflect what was going on in Chloe's personal life. And so readers who are familiar with the Little House books, which I'm sure many, many are, one of the real constant themes is the whole idea of finding a home. Where is the family going to settle? What happens if one person is ready to settle and the other person isn't? What happens when you think you're settled, but grasshoppers or plagues come and destroy the crops? And so I wanted to explore that idea. And because this is the sixth book in the Chloe Ellefson series, she's at a point where she's also starting to question, well, am I settled? Am I done mm-hmm. roaming around? And her gentleman friend, who is a police officer, Ralky McKenna, he also is facing some of those same questions. So it gave me a lovely opportunity to mirror those two storylines.
I can say that I did not read that whole Laura Ingalls Wilder Little House book series. I watched the television. Mm-hmm. I was pretty young, I think, when that series was on television. And it's kind of interesting because even in the book, we learn a lot about Laura's family.
Yes.
And then some about the television series.
That's right.
And versus the book.
Versus the books, versus what happened in real life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I certainly, even though they're published as novels, I think I approached them just sort of assuming that they were pretty strictly autobiographical novels. And as many readers know, especially since the publication of Prairie Girl, which is an autobiography, they are indeed fiction. They were heavily based on her memories and on her family stories, but there are some additions that are fictional and things that she left out. So it creates an interesting dynamic within the broad Laura Ingalls Wilder community, and I thought that would be a fun thing to explore in the mystery itself.
Oh, absolutely, So Chloe is constantly surprised.
That's right. Yeah.
And what?
At the beginning of the book, or close to the beginning, one of the directors at one of the historic sites, you know, lays it out for her and says, you know, there are sort of three camps. There are book people who only want to know what happened in Laura's Little House books, and there are TV people, and that's their perception. And then there are what she calls truthers or academics who really want to ferret out the truth. And at the beginning, Laura says, or Chloe says, well, I'm a historian, I'm a professional, of course I'm a truther. And the message that I hope I conveyed in a very quiet and subtle way is that really however you approach it is just fine. And Chloe decides by the end of the book that actually she'll just stick with the books. Thank you. That's that's where her happy childhood memories come from.
And of course, murder.
Oh, murder, of course, yes.
Murder has to happen.
It has to happen. So there's a couple murders in this book. And one of the sort of quixotic things about being a mystery writer is I choose places and topics that I love and want to spend a year, you know, digging into and living in that world in my mind. But I do need to filter out all the sources of contention or possible strife and weave those into a mystery plot.
Well, and you've done a marvelous job with it again. I couldn't wait to get to open the book. And then once I sat down with it, I think I read it pretty much straight through.
Lovely.
it was a really great read for me. And I might add that my next-door neighbor and a couple of relatives are saying, have you finished with that book yet? Can I borrow that book?
Oh, music to my ears.
So, talking with Kathleen Ernst today, she is the author of a lot of books, but she has this is the sixth book in her series of Chloe Ellefson murder mysteries, really. This one's called Death on the Prairie. Weaves together facts about Laura Ingalls Wilder with a fast-paced murder mystery. Really a lot of fun to read. You may have read this book or maybe some of her earlier books. Hope you'll join in with your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And we'd certainly love to hear from you. That's the title of our page, The Larry Mueller Show. The sort of the reason for her getting on to the road, I guess, is the Little House site tours? And
that's right. A lot of people who have read the books, that's sort of a dream to visit all the places that Laura talked about in her books, plus a couple of others that aren't included in the Little House series. And that was a dream that I had, and my older sister and I actually, over the course of about 3 years, we visited each of the sites. And what really, it's quite touching to be on the ground and think, this is where Laura and her sister Mary played, or to visit the creek where they waited. And I think all of us who enjoy these books just owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to the many, many, many generous people, most of them volunteers, who make it possible for us to visit home sites and museums around the Midwest.
And the descriptions in that in the book are pretty accurate then.
Well, I visited all of the sites multiple times, so I do try to paint as close a picture as I can.
I also wanted to bring up, if you go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show and take a look at the page, right in the middle of the page now, you're going to see a photo of Kathleen, and she's holding up a wonderful quilt.
This is a quilt made by my friend Linda Halpin, who is a quilt historian and Wisconsin quilter. And both of us are big Little House fans, and she's done quite a bit of research into the patterns that might have been used both broadly in the time and then also in the book. And I love to feature some kind of domestic art or folk art in the books. And Laura mentions quilts many, many times in the Little House book. So at the beginning, I think that would be a nice trigger for the mystery. So the mystery begins when a longtime family friend of Chloe's appears with a quilt that she says has been passed down in the family and that Laura Ingalls Wilder once owned. And Chloe would love to learn more about it, and she hopes to prove that it was actually made by Laura, which would be a huge discovery. So that's what the photograph represents.
And it's a really beautiful quilt.
Linda does gorgeous work. Yes, yeah. It's beautiful.
Someone called in and wondered if do you need to read the previous books in the series to understand what's going on in this book? I would say no.
Yeah, I also say no. Some people feel very strongly they want to start at the beginning, but it's very, very common for people to just pick up a book that particularly appeals to them. And I try very hard to make each book a standalone so that readers won't be confused if they start with this one.
And you can all, it's happened to me with other authors. I think in your case, I was able to start right from the beginning
right.
and go straight through. But there are other authors who I discovered when they were in their fifth book or whatever, mm-hmm. I read that book, and then I went back just because I was interested and wanted to go back and read the earlier books.
Yes.
And, of course, all of your books are just all in print. And
yes, they are. They are.
So that's very nice.
It's wonderful. And if you start with this one, you won't have any trouble. And then if you want to go back to number one and see how Chloe got to that point, the first book is called Old World Murder.
Yeah. And I should mention as well, we've got a link to your site on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show.
Oh, shows. Lovely.
So if you go to our site, you'll see a photo of, I believe, somewhere, it's there somewhere, there's a photo of Kathleen's, I want to say Laura's.
Yes, that's okay.
No. Oh my goodness, I want to say Laura, but it's Kathleen's website, so you can go there. You can also join in with your own questions and comments. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. I'm Larry Mueller. Cheyenne Lentz, our on-air producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, having a great time talking with Kathleen Ernst about her latest book in the Chloe Ellefson mystery series. This one's called Death on the Prairie, and weaves together facts about Laura Ingalls Wilder along with a very fast-paced murder mystery as well. So it's really a fun read, and I hope you'll have a chance to look at it. Again, if you have questions, give a call at 800-642-1234. Lynn in Racine has a question. Lynn, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I'm happy to be on the air with you. It's just interesting. I'm driving to my mother's in Illinois, but a friend just told me about the book, and I put it on my Christmas list. So I am really excited to read it. Big Laura Ingalls Wilder fan. Also helped with the Laura Ingalls Wilder Day at Old World, Wisconsin.
Oh, wonderful.
When they started. Having that Linda helping. And I was wondering if your guest would ever consider being part of a Laura Palooza, which is an adult conference on Laura Ingalls Wilder. And the next one will be held in 2 years for the anniversary of her 150th birthday. It'll be in Missouri.
Well, Lynn, I'm actually familiar with Laura Palooza, and I had the great pleasure of attending my first one in DeSmet this last summer. I was under the radar and very quiet and just sort of soaking it all in. But I already do hope to attend the next one. I'm very excited about it. So thank you so much.
Yeah, it's a wonderful event. Your book sounds exciting. And a friend who works at Norskedalen, Norwegian.
Oh.
Yes, it was the one who told me about your book. But we might have crossed paths and just met then, because I was there too.
We might have. We probably chatted over coffee at some point. Thank you so much, Lynn.
Look forward to meeting you.
That would be great, and I hope you enjoy the book.
Thanks very much for calling. And so the conference, there's a conference as part of the book, as a matter of fact.
There is, and it's fictional, obviously, but these conferences have been taking place, and there's a wonderful community of people. And what I particularly love about the conference that I attended, Laura Palooza, is it's the only conference I think I've ever been to where professors from universities are chatting with homeschool parents, are chatting with 8-year-olds, are chatting with doctors who just love Laura and so have done a great deal of research into one particular aspect. It was a grand assemblage of people sharing their love and their knowledge about the Little House book. So it was great fun.
It certainly sounds like a lot of fun. I want to go back to the relationship between Chloe and her boyfriend. No, not boyfriend. It doesn't seem right.
She's not thrilled with that word. He's okay with it, but they haven't really figured out what to call it. But yes, her gentleman friend.
They have an interesting relationship. Can you talk about how that's developed in this?
Well, it's been fun to let that develop because they are very, very different people. Chloe's a little older than Relke McKenna. He is very much a police officer, a really superb police officer in many ways. He's very hardwired, a little bit hard charging at times. And he doesn't always understand Chloe, who's often in her history world and thinking about those things. But together they actually make very good partners, and they work together to solve crimes. She's a reluctant sleuth. She doesn't go looking for this, but he ends up getting tangled up in crimes sometimes where some bit of knowledge that she has can help contribute to that. So it's been fun to develop their relationship and kind of see how it goes. And they are, I think, in each book, sort of growing and changing both as individuals and as friends and partners as well.
I think you're absolutely right about that. And it really is an interesting relationship. And he's a police officer, and I'm suddenly blanking.
The village of Eagle?
Eagle, mm-hmm. Wisconsin, which is another kind of cool thing, I think.
Yes, and I have to give a shout to my friends in Eagle, because everyone, including the police officers there, have been incredibly supportive and helpful. And I would not have been able to develop Relke McKenna as a creditable police officer without their help.
How much time do you spend with, do you spend a lot of time with police officers and others in the community to sort of soak that in, or?
I do. I know the community fairly well because I worked there myself for so long, but the police world was totally new. And so really, since before the very first book was published, I've gone over maybe two or three times a year and just spend a good chunk of a day. And sometimes I sit in the corner and listen to the conversations, and sometimes we go out on calls, and sometimes I go over with a long list of questions. In fact, I'm doing a ride-along tomorrow, and I have a long list of questions. And I'm so fortunate because the officers that I work with there, they seem to enjoy not just answering questions, but sometimes we kick ideas around, or they'll have suggestions that I wouldn't have even known to think of, and they become really important little kernels in the book. So I'm very grateful.
Well, and they're nice people in the book, too. I mean, the officers,
yes.
They're... which is kind of nice.
Yeah, there's been a lot of bad press lately, and I won't touch on that. But the one thing I've learned is that so many officers, they just work so hard to try to keep their communities safe, to make their town a safer place. And they do many things that most people just never know about. But, yeah. But they do it in the interest of helping people be safe in their communities.
I want to also go back to this trip that Laura takes. And there are some really big surprises that have caught me totally off guard
in
the book, which I'm not going to bring up at all. But one kind of fun part was, an interesting part was her calling her sister and having her sister go with her.
Yes. Her sister, Kari, has been mentioned in earlier books, but just in passing. And one of the things that someone writing a series needs to do in each new book is think about how to draw in new elements. And since my own sister and I had visited the Lara sites together and mm-hmm. had a great time doing it, I thought, oh, this is a perfect chance for readers to get to know Kari a little bit. So Chloe and Kari set off on this road trip, both to attend the conference, my fictional version of a Lara conference, and they decide to do the circle tour and visit all of the home sites along the way.
And there's, I've got some other questions relating to that, but let's go to Ellen in Decorah, Iowa, who has a comment. Ellen, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Ellen.
You won't recognize my voice because I'm hoarse, but I can't believe no one's called in yet. And I just wanted to say that I know from experience that Kathleen really does her homework on these things that involve a lot of history. She interviewed me very, very extensively because I was at that time teaching a class at Vesterheim, in Decorah, and she was going to use such a class in her book that was set in Decorah. And I was really, really impressed with the details that she got out, many of which, of course, weren't really used in the book, but she just knows all that background.
Oh, Ellen, you're very sweet. And Ellen is a beautiful chip carver. She does amazing work, and that was featured in one of the earlier books. Ellen, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Ellen.
My pleasure.
Appreciate the call. And that was a good book, too. That's another good one. And all of your, and I should say, there are six of them now, and they're all up. You could go online and
yes,
probably order
available.
Them online or mm-hmm. go to your local bookstore and get copies from your local bookstore. You're going to be able to get them. And if questions, join in, 800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. If you've read some of these Kathleen's books, certainly love to hear about that. Or questions about this one or about Laura Ingalls Wilder, please feel free. 1-800-642-1234. We had an email question from Marilyn in Beaver Dam. Might you ever base one of your books on Aztalan? My husband and I recently visited this unique and mysterious site. I couldn't help thinking that Chloe would have an adventure there.
Oh, thank you so much for the suggestion. And I definitely would consider that. I have a very fat and growing file of brochures and articles and information about potential future sites. So, thanks to all of you who are supporting the series. I hope to continue indefinitely because there are so many wonderful places to explore and stories to tell.
And you're probably going to stick pretty much in the Midwest, would be my guess.
I think so. Primarily Wisconsin. There are so many, so many stories here and wonderful places. And she will occasionally, you know, get out as she's done a couple of times, including this book and other books in the or other sites in the Midwest. But I love the Midwest. I love Wisconsin, and it's very joyful for me to have this avenue to share these places with readers.
And you've been to Green Bay or Door County,
Island off the coast of Door County. And the first book was set entirely at Old World. The second book brought in some of the Swiss heritage in Greene County, then up to Door County. The fourth book does take place at Vesterheim Norwegian American Museum in Decorah, Iowa, which is a magnificent museum. And
we're off to Minneapolis.
That's right. The fifth book, Chloe is in Minneapolis and Relke is in Milwaukee, both of them dealing with urban immigration and Poles. And now we're doing the Laura Ingalls Wilder tour.
And this time, Relke isn't dealing with a murder, but he's got sort of personal, not personal demons, but personal
history to deal with. He has some questions to answer. And in the book before that, the fifth book, Tradition of Deceit, that book focused a lot on Relke and a crime and one that hit very close to home. And so when I started this book, I thought, there's no way I can just keep upping the stakes for him. This is early in the series, I hope. So I switched gears instead, and as you said, gave him a personal thing to wrestle with, and that is that his great dream has always been to buy an airplane. He loves to fly. It's his great joy. But his family farm comes on the market, and he's not a farmer. He doesn't want to be a farmer, but there is something very compelling about the place where he spent time as a boy. So he needs to figure out if he's ready to settle down and if he wants to take his savings and instead of the freedom of flying away, invest that in the farm.
And that's a tough one.
It is. You know, I think you mentioned earlier, even though a lot of them deal with other times and places, you know, at their heart, there are issues that all of us deal with. You know, where do I want to live? Am I ready to settle down? So I hope that readers can always relate to the characters on that kind of emotional level.
Kathleen Ernst, our guest today, author of Death on the Prairie, the sixth in her Chloe Ellefson Historic Sites Mystery Series. Always great to have her along. Barb and Oconomowoc up next with a question. Hi, Barb. Thank you for calling.
Hi, yeah. Kathleen, I finally had time to call you this morning now. At one time I had mentioned to you, if you're going over to Europe, if you go to, you know, your country that was that you went to, if you could write a plot around that museum there, the one that started out all these historical building museums.
The architectural parks and historic museums. Thank you, Barb. That's a wonderful suggestion. And I at this point, Chloe is always in the back of my mind, so I can't travel anywhere without thinking about possible books. But specifically, my husband and I had the great good fortune of visiting Norway a few months ago. And since Chloe is Norwegian-American, I must say there are some ideas definitely churning in the back of my mind. It would be great fun to get Chloe to Norway, maybe exploring some of her own family stories.
This is probably a good problem to have.
It is.
Thinking about where am I going to take her next.
That's right. No shortage of ideas.
What about your writing process? How do you approach writing these books?
Well, I'm not an outliner, so I just sort of start with the kernel of an idea and wade in and see where it goes. And that does mean I revise quite a bit, but that's fine. That's part of my process. And I try to write every day. I do a lot of travel and other things, too. And I often do work on more than one book at a time, because if I'm working for different publishers, they often overlap. So I think it was my historic sites background, actually, that really trained me to do that very well, because if you work at a historic site, you're usually doing several things very quickly at once. And I'm one of those very fortunate people. I love what I do. And every time I sit down to start a new story, it just feels like a great adventure.
Well, you don't know how it's going to turn out yourself.
I don't. No, I don't. Probably few mystery authors would agree with that's okay, but I've learned to trust the process and the way my brain works, and that I will figure it out along the way and pull things together in the end. And so far, it seems to be working okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Barb?
Kathleen, yeah, I finally am reading your last book, and I haven't finished it yet, and I'm just very impressed with your style of writing. I see it improving.
Oh, you're so kind, Barb. Thank you very much.
Well, I like each book. I like this one. This is my favorite.
Oh.
So that is... and I suppose, do you feel that yourself about your books, or do you...
I do, and I think, you know, as I write a series, obviously with every book, I get to know Chloe a little better. I get to know Relke a little better, and I explore one more facet of their backgrounds and their personalities. And so I think they become just a little bit more complex characters as time goes by. And I only write about places and themes that I feel passionate about, so I hope that kind of shines through.
And I guess as a reader, you if you start reading these books, you develop a fondness for the characters, so it's always such a pleasure to say, oh, here's the next.
Here they are. Well, I've heard from many readers, and it's just wonderful when someone emails me or stops me and says, oh, they feel like friends. I mean, that's remarkable. And I had one gentleman recently come to a signing, and he said, I just have one thing to request. Don't ever kill off Relke. And I assured him, and I can assure all my readers, I will never kill off Relke. Couldn't do it.
Oh, Barb, thank you again. Appreciate
your
call.
Thanks so much, Barb.
Let's go to Lynn in Oshkosh next. Lynn, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I called because a couple of years ago, I had some friends who were docents at the Pottawatomie Lighthouse on Rock Island.
Oh.
And it was right after I had read the book, can't remember
The Lightkeeper's Legacy.
Yes, I had just read that. So I got to spend a couple nights up there, and we explored some of the places that you talked about, that cave.
Oh, wonderful.
And, we had a wonderful time. It was overnight in a lighthouse has been on my bucket list for years.
It's so, such a special place.
Oh, it's wonderful.
It's amazing.
I got to spend two nights there. It was so much fun. And as a thank you gift to the women who invited me to stay with them, I gave them a copy of your book. In fact, I had got the book from you, and you autographed it for them.
Oh, how very nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Anyway, I love your stories, and thank you so much for writing them.
Oh, Lynn, thank you so much. That means the world to me.
Thank you, Lynn, for calling. Well, that's a nice story. You probably get a lot of...
Well, I love hearing from people that say, we read your book and we'd never been to Rock Island, or we'd never been to Vesterheim, or we'd never been to see the Basilica at St. Josephat's. But after reading your book, we decided to go. And what could be better than that?
And you help, you facilitate a little of this, too, through your website and through...
I do. I work with my husband, Scott, and we have I'm very proud of it. He does most of the work. But we try to provide a lot of resources for readers. So if you read one of my books, you can go on our website, which is KathleenErnst.com, and find photographs of the artifacts and tips for travel to the sites. And I write a lot of blogs that share some of the stories behind the stories to explain what was real and how I learned about what I learned about. So it can be fun to explore that.
Well, it really is, and I like your site. It's a very helpful site. And
oh, good, thank you.
Ruth and Butternut has a comment, so
hi,
let's
Ruth.
Go to her. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, I'm really enjoying this program today, and I'm going to buy the book for my daughter. But I'm going to read it first, and then I'll wrap it up.
Oh, perfect.
And she lived 3 years down at Eagle.
Oh, wow. So it'll,
it's a lovely town area.
It is. And yeah, she'll be able to picture as she reads along. That's
oh,
great.
Oh, yes, she will. You know, so well, thank you.
Oh, all thank right. you, Ruth.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Before I forget about it, you have some... signings and some appearances that you're going to make, and I definitely want to get that in before we're out
I
of
do,
time.
And people can always check my calendar on my website also, but I'm going to be at the Yonke Bookstore in Wausau on the 28th of November, and then I'm also going to be doing signings at Vesterheim and at Old World Wisconsin during their Christmas programming, and I have the specifics on my calendar online. And I will also be at the Wisconsin Rapids Public Library on the 10th of December and at Mystery to Me in Madison on the 13th of December.
So lots of... you enjoy those?
I love those. I love those, yeah. I enjoy library visits because I have a chance to do programs, which is fun, and share some images and artifacts. But the very best thing of all, wherever I'm going, is meeting readers. What could be better than that?
Well, I'm looking over at that quilt and thinking, yeah, you usually have some nice visuals to go along with here.
Well, I always try to include artifacts, or in this case, a reproduction, but... and so I do take those to libraries and programs like that so people can see them. But if you can't make it to a program, check the website. I've got photographs.
And again, we'll join in at 800-642-1234. I'd love to hear from you. And we had a call coming in here. And let's take it. Richard in La Crosse just called in.
Hi,
so let's go there. Hi, Richard. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Richard.
I don't know if you recall, but I was also, my wife and I, Terry and I, were docents in Rock Island.
Ah.
And we went on your Vesterheim tour.
Oh, of course. I'm so glad you could come. Yes.
Yeah. But the reason I called is I had a unique opportunity to go up and spend the summer on Rock Island as the naturalist and historian.
Sure.
And one of the things I did was every week, of course, there were new docents, so I got to go up there and talk to all of them and meet all of them, and they're all just remarkable people. So my question is, are you still doing that?
Well, we have done it. My husband and I have done it every year for the past 7, and as you know, there's an application process annually, so we have indeed sent in our application for the coming summer.
Oh, great, great. Yeah, I hope to be back next summer. I don't know about DNR budgets and all of that. But anyway, it was a terrific opportunity to spend most of the summer on Rock Island.
Oh, so, I can only imagine.
Yeah, maybe we'll see you up there.
That would be delightful. Thank you so much, Richard.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And your book, by the way, the book is doing... pretty well.
It seems to be doing well. Authors are often the last to, you know, see any actual numbers. But what I love is I've been hearing from people who said, oh, I love the Little House books as a child. Or, oh, now I'm rereading them and I'm enjoying them just as much. And that's marvelous.
Oh, and so, of course, this is an ongoing process.
Yes.
And everybody wants to know, well, what's next?
I am working on the 7th Chloe Elveson mystery, which will be out in the fall of 2016. And it's not done yet, so I can't go into too much detail. But set in Wisconsin, and we're going to learn a little bit more about Rilke's ancestors.
So, about his ancestors.
About his ancestors, yes.
And oftentimes in the book, it's kind of cool because you go back and forth. There's a chapter on Rilke, and then then we're back to Chloe, and then back to Rilke.
Chloe and Rilke are both what we call point of view characters. So I do change from chapter to chapter, some in her head, some in his head. And then in most of the books, I also have a historical plot line. I did not do that in Death on the Prairie because I didn't feel appropriate to try to write about Laura, but I do have a historical thread about some of Rilke's ancestors that I'm having great fun writing. Yeah.
Well, it is always such a pleasure to have you.
It's always wonderful to be here. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you, Kathleen, and good luck with the book, and of course, when that next book comes out...
You will be the first to get a copy.
Right.
And thanks to all the wonderful readers who make it possible for me to do what I do.
Kathleen Ernst is the author of the book we've been talking about. It's called Death on the Prairie, and it's the sixth in her Chloe Ellefson murder mystery series. Wonderful. It's a wonderful series. And I like each book as it comes out, I like them more and more. So I'm really happy to have her back to talk about it. And believe me, she will be back again. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. Well, appreciate talking with her so much. And this time of year, in addition to all of the other things that happen, there's a young wine that comes out. And this weekend, it's celebrated around the world, and we'll have a chance to talk about that wine today, the Beaujolais Nouveau, with Philippe Coquart of Waldersheim Winery in Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.